You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Yesterday, when we recorded the podcast, literally 5 minutes after it published, we got the news that LSU had, in fact, hired Jake Peets and DJ Mangus. So I do have some more reaction to those coming up, but we have since also learned the salaries for LSU's new offensive coordinator, passing game coordinator. I'll get to that in a second. Also, later on in the show, we will recap LSU basketball getting a nice win at home against Georgia, a comeback win, a needed win in conference play that's coming up. So, LSU on Wednesday announced they'd hired Jake Peets as offensive coordinator, DJ Mangus as passing game coordinator. On Thursday, we learned their contract details. Both receive a 2-year deal. Jake Peets, as offensive coordinator, will receive $1.2 million before a bump of up to $1.3 million in year two. So $1.2 in 2020, $1.3 in 2021. Also, Peets received a $150,000 signing bonus. DJ Mangus, 2-year deal, $400,000 per year with incentives included. So it's worth noting that the number that Mangus received there does kind of indicate what we've discussed and what we discussed yesterday. Some have said, you know, why would these guys take the job? Well, being a college coordinator oftentimes is going to pay you much better than being a on-field assistant, low-level assistant in the NFL. Remember, Joe Brady with the New Orleans Saints was making $40,000. So a six-figure salary as passing game coordinator with LSU was a nice bump. And then obviously he got a seven-figure deal when he went to Carolina. Same here. Jake Peets was the quarterback's coach. DJ Mangus was an on-field or was an offensive assistant. So Peets was likely in the six-figure range in Carolina. Now he's bumped to 1.2. So he likely more than doubled his pay. Mangus was probably in the range that Brady was when he was with the Saints, Mangus with Carolina, in that, you know, $40,000-$50,000 a year range. So he probably grew tenfold in his contract. So financially, both guys really are incentivized. I'll continue to say the odd thing is that Jake Peets has never been a coordinator before. He is older than Mangus. He's 37. He's worked in four NFL organizations, two different stints at Alabama. But the money there might surprise some, but as a package deal, less than $2 million per year for those two. That's basically what you're looking at there. Now, today, Thursday, Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, is in Baton Rouge meeting with Ed Ogeron, and here's hoping that Coach O can put on the hard sell. We know that Ed Ogeron's superpower, the thing that he is known for, his recruiting ability, is his ability to relate to people and to sell, and LSU needs that Ed Ogeron today in a big way. You cannot let Marcus Freeman leave Baton Rouge without making him your defensive coordinator, because if you don't get Marcus Freeman, where do you go from there? That's a giant question mark, and there's a lot of ambiguity about what might be next for LSU if that were the case. So Marcus Freeman interviewing today. Like we said, we know Peets and Mangus are now in place. We know their salaries. I do want to react further to those hires. We'll do that. As always, thrilled to tell you about our friends at betonline.ag, betonline.ag. If you sports bet, if you would like to but never knew how, betonline.ag. It is free to sign up. I've had a BetOnline account for about 10 years. 2010 is when I opened my BetOnline account, and that's where I have bet on sports in sports games since. If it's the NFL playoffs this weekend, if it's the national championship game for college football on Monday, place your bets online at betonline.ag. It is totally free to open an account. There's a cashier tab. You can go deposit money. You can use a credit card, use Bitcoin if you want. You deposit money in your account, and when you go to deposit money in your account, there's a little line that's going to say promo code. Enter Locked On, LOCKEDON. Enter Locked On is the promo code, and you get a 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. So whatever amount of money you deposit, they'll add 50% for free. So if you deposit $100, they'll give you $50 in your account to play with for free. It's betonline.ag, betonline.ag, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. Time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
There are two certainties, two absolutes, only two, when it comes to coaching hires in college football. There are things that exponentially or disproportionately will likely succeed or fail, but there are only two absolutes, meaning you hire one of these two people, you will win and win big. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, that's it. You hire either one of those guys, you nailed it. Everyone else, there's a question mark to some degree. So the whole key in hiring is check boxes, find a natural fit, who's going to work well within your staff, who's going to achieve what you want. Certainly the more experience, the better at a value, et cetera. So, listen, there are things that looked really good, right? I mean, Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia had the Mountaineers competing for a national championship. At Michigan, he was a disaster. Lane Kiffin at USC was overwhelmed. At Ole Miss, he's a hero. Fit, circumstance, all that stuff sort of matters. Today, there's a lot of LSU fans that are doing backflips over this, and that's typically what happens when hires are made. When you go into the silly season, the coaching carousel, everybody wants to believe that the hires made are, you want to be gung-ho. This is going to be the greatest thing ever, and it's going to work, and you're going to win championships, etc. I need you to be honest with me, and be honest with yourself. 72 hours ago, did you know the name Jake Peets? That's what I thought. So I need you to spare me the this is a slam dunk, this is a home run, all that rhetoric, because I don't need that in my life. Jake Peets is 37 years old and has never been an offensive coordinator. His coaching career began at a community college in California where he was the strength and conditioning coordinator and the special teams coach. Also coached safeties. Santa Barbara City College. He was a defensive assistant at UCLA in 2007, an assistant quarterbacks coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2012, went to Bama as an analyst in 2013, Redskins in 2014 as a quality control assistant, was with the Raiders a year later in 2015 as an offensive assistant, and then 16 and 17 still in Oakland as quarterbacks coach, then went to Alabama again in 2018 as an analyst, and then this past year joined, 2 years ago in 2019, joined the Panthers as the running backs coach, and this past year as the quarterbacks coach under Joe Brady and Matt Rhule. This is the first time in his career that Jake Peets is going to be an offensive coordinator. There is literally zero evidence to suggest that this is going to be a home run because he's never done it. Now, I want to be very clear because I know there are some of you rolling your eyes going, there goes Scone. It's never going to be good enough. I want to be very clear because what I'm trying to do here is to the super negative, I'm trying to pull you to the center. And to those that are like over the moon about this, pull you back to the center so we can analyze this. While there is zero evidence that Jake Peets will be a good coordinator, there's also zero evidence that he would fail. I would argue it's the same conversation we could have had about Joe Brady 2 years ago at this time. Joe Brady was a glorified coffee and donuts runner for the Saints. That's what he was. Offensive quality control or something like that. I mean, he was cutting up film and doing all that sort of stuff. He was not an on-field coach. He was not doing any of those things. He got his opportunity with LSU, and they knocked it out the park. Could very well happen with Peets and Mangus in tandem. Now, I would prefer a proven play caller, a proven recruiter, a proven offensive coordinator, someone who has sat in that chair in major college football and proven he can do the job. I'd prefer that. And if you want to put a guy in the chair next to him to give him a shot, a la Joe Brady next to Steve Ensminger, share some concepts, learn, like, that worked. That worked to perfection in 2019. Now, there is a lot that I like about this. A lot. I love the idea of trying to return conceptually to what you did in 2019. Now, an enormous part of why it worked in 2019 was Joe Burrow. Let's not get that twisted. And unless if Brennan or Johnson or Finley elevates their game exponentially, it's not going to look like that. It'll never look like that again, because that you'd literally have to be the greatest offense ever. But can you be productive in that same vein? Absolutely. So I do like that. I do like, in theory, returning to what you did that worked so well. The biggest question is why the hell you ever went away from it. Why you let DJ Mangus a year ago walk out the door instead of promoting him into that role that Joe Brady was in, or George Munoz. And like, moving away from what worked made no sense. I love young offensive minds. You've heard me. I've given you my native language theory so many times. Young offensive minds are going to be better in this offense because it's all they've ever known. It's like your native language. If you're born in a Latin American country and you grow up speaking Spanish, you're always going to speak it better than I can, no matter how much I study and learn it. That is the culture of these guys in their 30s that are play callers that grew up playing in the 7-on-7 culture, and it's all they know. I love that Jake Peets has had two stints on the Alabama staff. He's been close to Saban. He's seen how that works. He knows the SEC. He's game planned against this division. I like it. I also like the fact that he's been in four different NFL stops: Jacksonville, Washington, Oakland, and Carolina. From sea to shining sea, he has seen the NFL. He's been in different NFL locker rooms around different staffs, culturally very different, and knows what it takes to get there and to succeed. I like that a lot. I like young coaches that are ambitious and on the rise, as opposed to what you had last year in Bo Pelini and Scott Linehan, who were dinosaurs sitting on eight-figure buyout money, who had no ambition to do anything but cruise toward retirement and let LSU fund it. I like this. Talked about it yesterday on the show. Give me a guy that, even if he leaves after a year, is going with his hair on fire to win now because he is ambitious and wants to grow. Give me that over the guy who's just coasting. So there's a lot that I like about this hire. But there are things I don't like. The lack of experience is a gigantic risk for Ed Orgeron. Let's be very clear about this. Ed Orgeron is coming off a 5-5 season. The afterglow of that national championship ain't going to last forever, especially when people are pinning on you that it was because you had Joe Burrow. And when you follow that up with the worst season LSU's had in 20 years, the worst season for a defending champion maybe ever, you don't have a ton of rope in a place like Baton Rouge where the expectation is beat Bama and win championships. You got to nail these hires. I mean, you just went hat in hand to your boss and said, I need to buy out $3 million coordinators. That ain't a good look. Like, you've got to nail it. This is a big risk. You're hiring two guys that have never done this job before. I don't like that. I would want to minimize risk. I would want the wow factor if possible. Like when Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin, wow factor. Even when Sam Pittman hired Kendall Briles, wow factor. You don't get that with this. It's not to say it can't work. Don't misunderstand me. I just went through a litany of things I like about it. But there is a lot of risk that Ed Orgeron is assuming in these hires. And Ed Orgeron makes very comfortable hires. I think we have a big enough sample now to show that. I hesitate to use the term lazy, but they feel like lazy hires often. Hey, Derek, call Joe Brady and ask him who he'd hire. Hey, Joe, who would you recommend? Jake Peets and DJ Mangus. All right, let's interview him. Guys, you want the job? Done. I mean, I would argue the best hire that Les Miles made in his decade plus in Baton Rouge was Dave Aranda. Dave Aranda had zero connection to Les Miles or LSU. Les Miles went and vetted coordinators across the country, found the guy that was the youngest, the brightest, and got him here. there is no process like that involving Ed Orgeron. He makes comfortable hires, and some have hit, and some have busted. Which one is this going to be? For his sake, it better be a hit. Because I don't think that this staff, this administration, this fan base is going to stomach another season like the one we just went through. It's not going to stomach another 5-5 or 6-6. So, you got a bunch of guys back. Awesome start. You've got a consensus top five class. Awesome. You still got, you know, a handful of spots still to finish that class. You're filling your staff. You got two young, bright offensive guys. You're taking a shot on them. And now you get a chance to make your defensive coordinator hire as well. Hopefully that's Marcus Freeman. We'll see who it is. This feels very much like a boom or bust proposition for Ed Orgeron. I don't think there's much middle ground here. You're getting a lot of guys back on offense, and you're trusting some young guys that have never done this before. They either knock it out of the park or they fall flat on their face. And if they fall on their face, I think they take down the rest of the staff with them. If they knock it out the park, LSU's right back where we all expected them to be. You're going to have a ton of talent. You're going to have three veteran quarterbacks with experience in that room. You're going to have a buttload of talent at receiver and at least three running backs who've all played a lot of football for you. And you've got at least your interior offensive line returning. So you got a lot of toys in the chest to play with if you're Pete's and Mangus. It's on those guys to figure out how to make it all into a beautiful symphony come September.
Okay, we will recap LSU basketball and their win over Georgia in just a moment, always. And in 2021, excited to remind you about our friends at rockauto.com. Back with us here in 2021. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Of course, if you're in South Louisiana, you probably don't need to winterproof your car. But if you're listening in parts of the country where that's a thing, get to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. If you need wiper blades or motor oil or you need a carburetor for a 66 Chevy, they've got it at rockauto.com. Make sure when you get to checkout in the How Did You Hear About Us box, type in Locked On or Locked On LSU. We'd appreciate it greatly. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, if you love to restore old vehicles or you just need to change your oil or you tinker on old cars, Rock Auto will be your best friend. It'll be your go-to. Easy-to-use website, rockauto.com. Rock, A-U-T-O, rockauto.com. Be sure in the How Did You Hear About Us tab, you write Locked On LSU. Hey, remember, the national championship game is coming up on Monday, so great opportunity to check in on both Locked On SEC and Locked On Big Ten. Daily podcast, everything you need to know about the SEC and the Big Ten Conference. So check out those two, getting you ready for the national championship game on Monday. Basketball Tigers, they get a win by the hardest in overtime against Georgia, 94-92. I won't spend a tremendous amount of time delving into this, but suffice to say, Georgia's not a great team. They had LSU on the ropes. They had as much as a double-digit lead in the second half. LSU was really struggling to stop dribble drive penetration. Cam Thomas did not shoot it particularly well. At one point in the second half, he was stuck on 8 points, and then he got going. And he got going by passing on jump shots and getting to the rim, getting fouled, and making free throws. Hit 14 consecutive free throws, finished 15 of 16 for the night from the charity stripe, and that's what good scorers do. They find a way to get buckets even when it's not coming easy, and that was the case for Cam Thomas. Giant spot for Javonte Smart. Inside of 2 minutes, hit back-to-back three-pointers, which tied the game when LSU trailed by six. And then Tigers had a shot at the buzzer, effectively at the buzzer, to win it. It was a nice play set up in the half court. Will Wade did not call timeout, but Javonte had the ball, handed off to Cam Thomas. He was double-teamed, dished to a wide-open Darius Days, who drove the lane and missed a floater. He had a good look, just missed it. But in overtime, LSU kept getting to the free throw line, and they kept converting, and that was fantastic to see. Days hit a big three in overtime, as did Cam Thomas. So, listen, it's never easy to win in the SEC, and I know that's cliche to say, but it's absolutely true. And that was a game at home you could not afford to drop. You got to win the ones you're supposed to win. You know, if you're LSU last year, you lament the road loss to Vanderbilt when they broke their 13-game SEC losing streak or whatever it was. You got to win those games you're supposed to win. And at home at the Maravich Center against a bad Georgia team is a game you're supposed to win. And it was by the hardest, but LSU managed to do it. So the Tigers have a couple of days off. On Saturday, they're at Missouri up in Como against a ranked Missouri Tiger team on the Friday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. We'll give you a full preview of LSU at Missouri. Until then, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.